Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the screen right here. If you have your cell phones, fax machine scanners, put them on the silent and off position. Amen. And so, I went before the Lord this week, and I went to a lot of European news feeds, because a lot of times our media just kind of shallow in that area. But there's a big war coming, a huge war that's coming. And right now, Iran, Russia, Yemen, China, they're about ready to go to war with us. My question is, are we ready? Are we ready? And this is not going to be a conventional war. And if you look, if you've read the book America at War by Mark Biltz, remember Mark Biltz who discovered the seven feet? He shared with us the seven feasts of the Lord, the blood moons and everything. Up in the heavenlies, in the universe, you have to have a Hubble telescope. But all the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, are there in the constellations. Now, we're not to look at that like horoscopes. Horoscopes is of the devil. Okay, you don't read your horoscope to know what your day is going to be like. No, that's witchcraft. That we don't do that. But the constellations up there, God put them up there as signs in Genesis 1:14. And let the sun and the stars be signs. Okay, so up there right now as we speak, the way the universe is shifting and moving, all the tribes are in order. Pastor Art was sharing this on Tuesday night. He didn't realize because when they would go to war, they would go in order one by one and be released to go to war. Well, right now in the heavenlies, they're going in that same order. And that lets you know that they're going to war. There's going to be a war. Okay? And we're going to be involved in that one. We're going to be involved in that one. And so I want you to look at this up here. I've entitled this morning's message, Signs of the Times. Signs of the Times. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 33. We're going to look at verses 5 through 6. And then we're going to expound this message this morning. Amen? Isaiah 33:6, and it reads, verse 5, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." One of the keys for the church is to have fear of the Lord, meaning not that you're afraid and you want to hide. No, you want to reverence him with reverential fear, meaning he is God and we're not. Amen? And the fact that we are living in the time of the end is evidently brought forth by the time that is around us right now. The scripture here that we just read right here, the fact that we're living in the time, it shows us in order for men to have stability in their times, we have to understand what is taking place right now. So we must have what? Wisdom and knowledge from God by having a clear understanding of the times, so that we can better prepare ourselves and have peace in the midst of a world filled with chaos. Just imagine if you lived in the third world countries. Is there peace and stability there? If you are a born-again believer and you are caught preaching the Bible in China right now, you will be beheaded. If you're caught in Iran, they will hang you in the squares. In their squares, they call them, like, in their open public arenas. And they would get those long, what do you call it, that we used to call them the storks. But what they do, they're long, what they build houses with. Cranes, there you go. These tall cranes, and then they would hang people by their neck. And there would be a ton of them. Because their home just got raided. They found out they were there preaching the gospel. And so you can find this in the Book of Martyrs. Well, do we still get that magazine? Once in a while we get that magazine. And it's telling you all the persecution around the world. We live in a nation right now. We still have our freedoms. We can still preach the gospel. We can go to the corners and preach. Now some places you'll get written up. But here we can. And so the signs of the times is truly that wisdom and knowledge from God that brings security and a present hope to know that He is still in control. How many believe that God is still in control? Amen. He's still in control. So my question is this. What is a sign? What is a sign? Okay. Number one. It's an indication of a coming event. An indication of a coming event. Number two, it's also a marker that precedes an event. A marker that precedes an event. Number three, something that is an outward manifestation of something to come. Of something to come. So as these nations are roaring, and Iran continues to attack U.S. through proxies, we're going to see something unleashed in our day and time. And you got to remember, Pakistan and India are ready to trounce each other. They're this close of setting nuclear bombs against one another. Pakistan and India, they're hated enemies. Yemen, Iran, and some parts of Syria hate the U.S. And it don't matter what administration. It could be a Democrat administration or a Republican administration. It don't matter. It don't matter who's running our country. They hate us. And why do they hate us? Because we are with Israel. The United States has always been for Israel. And why does God love Israel? Why is Israel the topic of the whole world? Why is Israel seems like there's never peace there? There's always turmoil there. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the devil knows that when Jesus comes, he's gonna set up his throne right there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So Satan knows. So what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to bring chaos. Now, the Muslim religion believes that their Mahdi is coming. What is the Mahdi? We Christians believe Jesus is coming, right? So there's three major religions there. There's Judaism, there's Christianity, and then there's the Muslim faith. So the Muslims believe that their Messiah is coming. It's called the Mahdi. But in order for him to come, there has to be chaos in the world. There's got to be war. There's got to be death. There's got to be murder. The Jews, Judaism, they believe that their Messiah is going to come from one of the rabbis there in Jerusalem. And we as born-again believers have the truth. Jesus is coming from above. Can I get amen? The same way he left is the same way he's coming back. Can I get amen? And so something that is an outward manifestation of something to come. So we're seeing chaos right now. So something's coming. And the church needs to be prepared. And we're going to look at several scriptures here. You came for a morning Bible study. Can I get amen? And so look at Matthew 24:3 here. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, this is Jesus with his disciples. They're on the Mount of Olives. And those of you that have been to Israel with us, you know where the Mount of Olives are. And down below is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. So they were curious 2,000 years ago. Now, 2,000 years later, we're still curious too. Amen? Amen? Aren't you curious to know when he's coming? So the question asked today, are we living in the last days? Are we living in the last days? The answer to the question number one, I believe, is a most definitely yes. I believe we are living in the last days. The answer comes, saints of God, with strong certainty, based on careful study of God's word and the events of our times and this generation. Not generations of past. We're going to see this is the generation, because I'm going to prove it through scripture. I can't prove it just by me saying we're in the last days. I got to show you evidence. You see, a detective, a good detective, will gather evidence. Can I get an amen? Amen. But if there's no evidence, they can't indict. You need witnesses. You need proof. You need sometimes whatever was filmed. But they look for evidence. Well, I'm going to give you evidence through the word of God that we are that generation. Can I get an amen? So I'm going to put on my investigator's hat. If you guys put on your spiritual glasses, amen. Praise God. God has, through his prophetic word, forecasted the times in which you and I live right now. To the child of God, the times and seasons shouldn't come as any shock, but rather as an indicator of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this, my friend, is not the case. Many today, sad to say, even in the Christian circles, stand in fear and awe, wondering what is going on. Some churches won't even talk about end time. You know, there's some churches that won't open the book of Revelation. They won't even open the book of Daniel. Why? Why do they bypass that? I wonder, do they really want Jesus to come? Or they just want this life to keep going? You know, it's going to end. You know, the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die, then the judgment. My niece Monica right now, she's only 41 years old. She gave up fighting cancer and she's in hospice now. Her life is coming to an end. She's internally bleeding, and she don't want them to go in and patch up the tumor that's in there. She's got cancer. She just wants to die. So her lifespan is going to be over in 41 years. For some of us, we may live to 70, 80, 90. But that day will come when we will expire on this earth. Can I get amen? We will expire. But my question is this. Where are you with God? You have a relationship with him? For when that day comes, are you ready to see him face to face? We came to her in love. And she cried out. And I said, Lord, you're the sovereign Lord. You can heal her. And you can do a new thing, or you can take her home. I shared this Wednesday night, Pastor Art, you were here. We all have the heart of God. when someone is ailing and in dire need, and they need God, they need healing. And so what do we do? We do what the Bible says, go and pray.
That's right.
We're just doing what God asks us to do. And we go and lay hands and we pray. But there are some, well, we go and pray, and then they end up dying anyway. They just die. And I asked God, I said, why do you heal some and some others? And then he brought back, I don't know if you guys have been watching The House of David. He brought back to my mind, because I just asked him this recently. He goes, I choose, I'm sovereign. I choose who I want to heal, and I choose those who I don't. And here's the thing. Some of the ones that God has shown, I've seen that, let me just say this. I'm not ever going to put God in a box. But what I've seen in 36 years of walking with God is there are some that you go pray for, you want them to get healed, and then they end up dying. And then there's some, they're miraculously healed, and they're on fire for the Lord. I go, what happened to that one? He goes, I knew their heart. He goes, why would I heal them to go back to their sin? Did you catch that? He goes, why should I heal them, and then they're going to run back to their sin to sin some more? There's some truth to that. That's why he asked that person, do you want to be healed? Remember in John chapter 5, the man that was paraplegic for 38 years, he always had an excuse. He goes, but Lord, every time the angel came to stir the water, people would just jump over me and go in the water and get healed. So God had to ask him, do you want to be healed? There's some people that don't. Some people still want to collect a paycheck. Some people still want, they want people to be around them to comfort them. Because they don't want to be healed. There's so many other things. But what I'm trying to say is, God is sovereign. And just remember that when you go pray for someone, pray that God give them a mind. You know what I pray when I want the cancer lifted. Yeah, I want the diabetes. Yeah, I want whatever disease they have. But you know what? My mindset when I come to lay hands, Lord, give them a mind to be saved and a heart to repent.
That's right.
That they would turn to you. And when you heal them, they'll serve you.
Yes.
They'll honor you. And so, this is a direct result of not being taught prophecy or fear of studying God's word when you don't understand it. This problem in the church is not a new one. Our Lord dealt with it in his own generation. And so let's look at this. There's an indictment against the church. By God. An indictment. How do we know this? Well, let's go to the Word of God in Matthew 16. Look at this. Matthew 16, 1 through 3. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Look at verse 3. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and threatening. And then Jesus called them what? I'm glad he said it and not me. I'm telling you, Jesus would speak his mind. Can I get an amen? He called both of these people vipers and snakes. You know what else he called them? He says, you are your father, the devil. Wow. He says, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A lot of the church today can say, praise the Lord, with the best of them. But do they know what time it is? Do they know what time we're living in? Here, Jesus rebuked sharp the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they couldn't discern the sky and weather and prepare their lives according to that day's forecast. But they couldn't spiritually discern the signs of the times. Today, saints of God, many churches and in the world prepare their lives every day on the words of their weatherman's forecast, but never discerning the spiritual climate in which they live. This is an indictment against the church and its leaders. As the church spends time in God's prophetic word, it will awake out of its cold state and discern the hour and prepare itself to meet a holy God. This is what I do, and I hope I do it at the best of my ability, is to prepare us through the word of God what time it is. Amen. That when I stand before God, he cannot say, you didn't tell him. The signs of the times are indicators of Christ's soon return and the end of this age, the end of this world as we know it. Every child of God should know what God has predicted for the last days that are here now. Many are giving up faith because they don't have any understanding of the time. Look what the book of Luke says, Luke 21:8. And he said, take heed that you may not be what? Deceived, for many will come of my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Let me just say this. How many know what a scoffer is? Okay, we got two people in here that know what a scoffer is. Okay, what is a scoffer? A scoffer is a person like you show them something and they'll say, I'm just going to paint a picture. Yeah, right. I don't believe that. That's a scoffer. They're reading truth, but then they go, yeah, right. And they'll believe. Well, you know what? The Word of God calls people out on that. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Look at 2 Peter 3. Look, first of all, scoffers are by the millions around the world. By the millions. There might be scoffers right here in our own fellowship. I don't know. And I'm not going to, it's not for me to know. It's for me to prepare you of what's here. But right here in 2 Peter, look at this. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? What? There's people today saying, yeah, right, he's coming. And here's their excuse. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What are you talking about? There's always been wars. There's always been this. There's always been that. And they'll try to convince you of that. Oh, but look, read on. For this, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed, this is Noah's day, perished, being flooded with water. Look at this. But the heavens and the earth were now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So let me just say this in a nutshell. In Noah's day, the time was wicked, so he had to flood the earth. The last day, this generation, is not going to be done by water. It's going to be done by fire. And people are just going to go about their merry, yay, praise the Lord. How you doing? And some will go right into that sin as soon as they go home. Not knowing what's here now. My goodness. Look at this. The signs of the times revealed in the gospel. It's in the gospel. Saints, here we'll examine the signs given by our Lord, the prophets, and the apostles. We will allow the Word of God to reveal the signs through documented evidence, giving you confirming facts that we are living in the last days. And so first we look at the signs revealed by our Lord. And these are found in the Gospels, found in the book of Matthew. Let's go there. Look at Matthew 24, 3 through 9, 39. Look at this. I got a whole lot to read here, so bear with me. Amen. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Hey, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and in the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." We just read in 2 Peter that there are scoffers saying, "Yeah, right." Well, you know what? If you buy into that, you're being deceived. You're being deceived. Look at this. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines." Right now, there's many nations that are starving. Starving right now. Pestilences. Didn't we just have COVID? How many years did we go through COVID? That's a pestilence. Still going through it. There's still people who still get it. Earthquakes. Remember a couple weeks ago? Man. If you never rocked your hips back and forth like this, you did that day. Oh, Tennessee had one. Earthquakes in many places, right? Look at this. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then now this is where he speaks to them in their current day, and then Jesus will prophesy about our day and time. But look at this. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations by my name's sake. That happened. A lot of the apostles were killed. They were killed. Some of them were hung upside down and crucified. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Wow. Let me ask you this question. Some of you have been walking with Christ for at least 20 years. Me, 36 years and a half. Some of you, 20, 15, 10. Do you remember when you first started out, the people that were around you, on fire with you? Some of them are not on fire no more, huh? Huh? Some of them have even left the faith. Some of them, you can't even drag them back to church. Why? Because they went cold. They grew cold. Jesus said that would happen. Look at this. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." What? Endure. That means serving the Lord, praising him, glorifying him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having devotional time with him, having a relationship with him, having a prayer life, sharing the gospel, teaching, preaching, worshiping God. Hallelujah. If none of that is in your repertoire, something's out of order. If you have no desire to what I just said, then something is not right in your life. Can I get an amen? "Because he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." You know what that the abomination of desolation is? Right now, they're about ready to introduce the third temple on the Temple Mount. Oh, they have the rabbis in place. They have all the furniture. They have the showbread. They have the menorah. Yes, they have everything. The Ark of the Covenant. the red heifers, they're all there. And why is that a sign to us? Because Jesus is going to come and destroy it all. You know why? He's got to come back and tell them, you didn't have to do all that. I was the last sacrifice. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who was on the house up go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. It's going to be chaotic, saints. It's going to be really chaotic. Look at this. And pray that your flight may not be winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world. Let me just say this. That day hasn't happened yet. There hasn't been a day that's so great that it's going to be mind-blowing. A great day like this is when over 1 billion, maybe 2 billion people die. Right now, there's 8 billion now. This world got populated quick. So the Word of God in the book of Revelation says there's going to be over 2 billion people that's going to die in this great war. And it's around the corner. It's around the corner. It's going to be, look at this. For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. In other words, there's not going to be nothing like it. It's going to be so devastating that it's going to leave everyone breathless. Look at this. And unless those days be shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So in other words, when that chaos is coming and so many people are dying, Jesus has to come now and destroy them all. Or the whole world will just nuke each other and we'd be all gone. He has to make those days short. Wow. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe. For false Christs, false prophets will rise up, show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You are the elect. We shouldn't be duped. Be careful of what you see on YouTube, what you hear from other ministries. Be careful. Some of them do not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit with them. They're giving you an opinion. Look at this. Even the elect would be deceived. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is here in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and the west, flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Look at this. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. In other words, he's coming when there is mass killing everywhere. And the birds in the air are eating up the flesh from the war. Look at this. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the power of heaven shall be shaken. This hasn't happened yet. And yet churches won't talk about this. They won't talk about Revelation. They want to keep their saints in dark. Just put money in the tray. And let you feel good. There's people in sin in church. They're fornicators. They're adulterers. They're drug addicts, homosexuals, transgenders, all up in the church today. Why? Because the church has become woke.
And in ministries too.
My goodness. That old time preaching is an extinct religion now. I'm here to let you know. I'm not in that other mold. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to keep, you guys know me now for many years. I don't change my position, have I? No. And there's some people that have come and gone. There's some people that got in my grill because their relative was homosexual and they got mad that I offended them. Oh, come on. I've been there, done that. I just stand my ground. I said, you know what? I'm just giving you what the God says in His Word. I'm just the messenger. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail. I'm not sorry that it offended you, because God's Word will offend you. If you ain't living right, it'll offend you. If you're living right, you'll embrace the Word. Say, man, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Look at this. Verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is a... Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. Look at this. And they will gather together His elect. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are His elect. And then do this. And then turn to yourself and say, thank God. Thank God you elected me. Can I get an amen? Because He's coming for only the elect. He's not coming for everybody. He's not coming for those that are living in sin. He's not coming for unbelievers. He's not coming for unregenerated people that never been born again. He's coming for those who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that are looking for His return. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Man, it's going to be a Holy Ghost party. I know you guys like to throw parties, but you're not going to see one like this. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already come tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near and it's at the doors. What is the fig tree? It's Israel. It's back in the land. And it's budding. Look at this. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Did you catch that? Noah preached for 125 years. And they all mocked him. They laughed at him. He was building a boat on dry land. They never seen rain ever before. And then the rains came. Jesus just said, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Meaning, in the generation that we're living in now, people are going to go about their daily business, walking around like doopity-doos, and then He's going to come. He's going to do a Gomer pile on you. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Golly, I'm here now. Remember Gomer pile? Oh, that way beyond. Did that go over your head like this? Look at this. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, I can only give you evidence. I'm not giving you my opinion here. And so, we are living like in the days of Noah. Well, how do I know that? Look how filthy, look how violent we live in. Listen to the music. Today's music wants you to fornicate. It wants you to check out the rear ends and all that. It does. It wants you to commit adultery. It wants you to lust after other people. That's just the music. What about the movies that are violent? Every movie, someone's getting killed or shot or lame. Heads blown off. And then their language. Bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep. Beep, bleep. And we sit up there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go get that one over there. Yeah. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Help us, God. See, we live in a comfortable environment. We live in a comfortable country. But the Son of Man's coming. He's going to come unexpectedly. That's why, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for perilous times? Because perilous times are here. The Apostle Paul received from God a revelation concerning the last days. He spoke of the last days as a time of peril, of perilous times. Look at this in 2 Timothy. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. You know, lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. You ever had a child just curse you out and you're the dad? You could be even a stepmom or a stepdad, and that child will just curse you out in your own home. That's an abomination of God. But God said that would happen in the last days. Proud blasphemers. No reverence for authority. No reverence to the household of faith. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This is what is taking place in the days and times that we live in.
Yes.
Because he says in the last days, perilous times will come. I know this is rough and tough. God didn't say to be easy. And he didn't say that his walk with Christ would be easy. He said, walk this walk by faith. Can I get an amen? Walk it by faith. Look at this. Then they're traitors. Headstrong, haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. You know, praise the Lord. God bless you. Yeah. And go home and kick the dog. Curse out the wife. Curse out the son and daughter. Curse out mom and dad. Oh, yeah. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort, all those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My. And so, how do we know? We're in the last days. What more evidence can we find? False doctrines. False teaching. False teaching. Look what 1 Timothy says right up here. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What? Teachings of devils. Oh, that's okay. Just love. Just love them. It's okay. I don't care if they curse. I don't care if they sin. I don't care if they're in adultery and fornication. Just love them. No, If you don't tell them the truth, that they, if they remain in that sin, they're going to perish, then you're out of the will of God. Can I get amen? Because this is what the Word of God says. Don't argue with me, the messenger. Argue with the Word of God, what it's saying. Look at this. It says that, expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So we're going to end this Bible study with more evidence, but here's the key evidence now. Israel. Israel. Look at Israel. Look at them. You see, saints, one of the greatest signs of our day occurred on May 14th, 1948, when the nation of Israel was reestablished after nearly 2,000 years of desolation. They came back in one day. One day, he gathered them back. So the Word of God prophesies the future for this nation in the latter days. Israel's birth in 1948 was by divine appointment. Our generation is the only generation since the time of Christ that has been God's chosen people in possession of their promised homeland. And so let's look at this. The restoration of Israel. The prophets prophesied that, because they were scattered. Why were they scattered? Because they rebelled against God. And so God had them taken out of their land. And it was desolate for thousands of years. It wasn't until, who's the one that wrote Tom Sawyer? What's his name? He showed up. Mark Twain. He showed up. Yes, right, brother. Mark Twain showed up in Israel and saw the whole, someone, ooh, you come on, brother. I want you to preach the rest of this sermon here too, right now. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. He showed up. And he prophesied what Moses prophesied. A man was coming to speak against the land because it was desolate. And what did Mark Twain say? He goes, what could ever grow here? What could ever be of this desolate place? It was nothing but hills and rocks. There was no vegetation. It was just like a desert, a horrible looking place. My goodness. But look what the prophets prophesied when God would say, okay, now I'm going to bring them back in the land. Look at this. In Amos 9:13, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow, what? With it. Look at this. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink from them. They shall make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in the land, and there no longer they shall be pulled up from the land I had given them, says the Lord your God. How many been to Israel? How many of you seen that? The cities are built up. They're agriculture. Do you know that they are the number one export of agriculture around the world? This little tiny desolate land at one time. My. Whoo, thank you, God. We serve Almighty God. I hope you know that. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Ezekiel 28:25. Thus says the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered. Remember, they were scattered. And am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles. Then they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Jacob. Remember, the Jews acknowledge him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So look, he's doing it in the sight of us, Gentiles. God is saying, look what I can do. So you know why he put this scripture like this in the sight of the Gentiles? Because us Gentiles didn't grow up in Jewish traditions. But we're seeing God do this miraculous thing. God is saying, if I could do miracles for them, I could do miracles for you. Can I get an amen? So he wants us to see this. Thank you, God. Look at verse 26. And they will dwell there, safely dwell there, build houses, plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgments on all those around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. So let's look at this. Second point, the gathering to the Jews to their own homeland now. Look at this in Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. This was prophesied thousands of years before this happened. And I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, in all the inhabited places of the country. Praise God. Look at our third point. The blooming and budding of the land of Israel. When we went to Israel as a church, we didn't get to go down. The furthest we went down was En Gedi, where the Dead Sea was. But if you go even further down, they took that whole desert and made it agriculturally beautiful. Every kind of plant is being farmed there and exported to other countries. Oranges, apples, grapes. They're feeding the world from this little tiny nation. The blooming and the budding of the land of Israel. Look at this. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. They're the number one exports in that right now. Why do you think Russia wants to conquer them? Because they want to take the land. Because it's bearing with so much fruit. If you were to do, when you get time, go to Google Maps and type in Israel and then do a satellite view. You'll see Israel and you'll see lush green in Israel and then all the Arab nations that surround it, like Jordan, Syria, and all that. It's all brown and all desert. There's nothing growing. Because God has chosen to bless them right there where they're at. Amazing. Amazing. You got to go look it for yourself. But it's like there. It's right there. Look at this. In Ezekiel 36. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees, the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. They're never going to starve again. My, my, my. And let me just say this. They got the highest tech military in the whole world. They can go into your nation and take out leaders under their nose. God has blessed them with ingenuity, with the strongest army that God would raise up in the last days. And one of the reasons why we've been still blessed in this nation, because we support them. But the moment we stop, look out. Look out. Because you got to remember, Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Can I get amen? That's where he's coming back to. And we get to rule and reign with him in the millennial kingdom. For 1,000 years, we're going to have the new bodies, and we're going to reign with him. And we're going to come up and worship him there. I can't wait. How many can't wait for that? Look at this. The rebuilding of the waste cities will go quickly. I will bring back the captives of my people. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit of them. Look at Isaiah 6:4. We're going to go quickly. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations, many generations. See, the prophets prophesied. Look at this. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the cities will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. Thank you, God. And so, we come in now for our last point of this Bible study. And it's the most important one. I've just been showing you evidence of Scripture. I can't just give you my opinion. So, God has done all this now to Israel, right? But when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, he talked about, Daniel talked about it, and many of the prophets talked about this, the restoration of latter-day Babylon. Latter-day Babylon. Because there was a Babylon then, and there's going to be a Babylon in this generation. Why is Babylon mentioned? Because every wicked thing was in Babylon. Every wicked thing. The Word of God prophesies the latter day restoration of Babylon, saints. The Scriptures teach that Babylon will one day come back into the mind of God, and He will bring swift destruction upon that city. The city of Babylon was destroyed centuries ago by the Persian kingdom, and this prophecy has been the topic of much controversy. Until our present day, there has been no literal city of Babylon in existence, but God's word prophesied that it would one day return. And how do we know? Let's look at Revelation 18. We're going to close with these scriptures. Revelation 18. You have to ask yourself, what nation are they talking about? Let's read this. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen. So Revelation was written by John, the apostle, on the island of Patmos. The old Babylon was already destroyed. That was thousands of years before John. That was already destroyed. And we just read, by who? By Persia. Cyrus destroyed Babylon back then. And Babylon was the one that invaded Israel and took them into captivity. And they were in captivity for 70 years. Okay, all that was past. We're looking at revelation of things yet to come. This hasn't finished yet. This hasn't been completed yet. John the Apostle was writing this down on the island of Patmos. Matter of fact, there's evidence of Patmos. When we were with Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, we went on a side trip as we were headed to Israel. We went to Ephesus, and there was like 60 of us. We stopped in at Turkey first before we went into Israel, and we toured all the coast of Ephesus. And then we had the opportunity to get on a boat and to cross the Aegean Sea, and we went, there's these Grecian islands. Greece is right there, the big country of Greece, but they have little islands in front of them, and the island of Patmos is where we went. And we got off the boat, and it was a little island. They greeted us there, And then immediately they took us to this big old cave. And when you walk into the cave, it has all these relics of the Apostle John. And many believe this is where he wrote, on the island of Patmos, the book of Revelation. But it's a real place. The island of Patmos is not just something that you just read in the Bible. No, it's all there. And so look at this. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Look at this. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. I preached a similar sermon a couple of years ago. I didn't have time to put the PowerPoint photos, but we have like 9 ports around the Atlantic, the Gulf, and the West Coast. And these ports are for merchant ships that come. A lot of them come from China. But they come with all the stuff that we consume. And they stack on one another hundreds and hundreds. These ships come like 20 feet stacked high. And they come into our ports, and forklifts are offloading them. One country comes to mind that became so wealthy from the United States is the Emirate Kings of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, all them. Google search that. The Kings of Saudi Arabia. Together, they're the richest nation in the world. The richest man is Elon Musk. The richest country is Saudi Arabia. And man, you ought to see the wealth that these people have bought from selling oil to us over the years. They become multi-billion. One of them is a trillionaire. Wow. But look at this. It says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who commit a fornication and live luxury with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Look at this. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. We are the number, this nation is the number one import nation. In other words, we buy. Go to Walmart. Everything's made by who?
China.
Look at the tag. Made in where? But why are these nations are going to mourn for that? Because guess what? If that's talking about us, we're not going to buy nothing no more. We can't. And they're going to mourn because they can't sell nothing to us no more. Or whoever this nation is. Many believe it could be U.S. But I can't find another description that has bodies of water around it, that has a woman, standing in her harbor. Who's that woman? Statue of Liberty. Look at this. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood and every kind of object, ivory, every object, most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, the fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, oars, all this, and souls of men. And souls of men. What? Look at this. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which you are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Just imagine if John was writing about this nation, us, and here comes these cargo ships, they can't come into our ports because they're on fire. They're going to be weeping and wailing because they can't drop off the goods no more. Wow. Look at this. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors and many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Wow. What city can you think of other than us, where the world comes to them and drops off their goods, and that has wealth enough to buy it all? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For 1 hour she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Wow. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great milestone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. In other words, the music of that city, of that country, will be no more. So let me ask you this question. If you were to go visit, like where Judy and Marty are, they're in Italy. If you were to go into their record stores to buy CDs or, you know, music, albums, the majority in other countries is American music. American music is played everywhere in the world. But go to ours. Do you find Chinese or Italian or French when you go? Remember when it was Warehouse Records? Tower Records, remember that? You went in there, all you found was American music. You didn't find nothing else. You didn't find other countries in there. Well, when you go to other countries, all you find is our music. And if they were, yeah. Yeah. So our music had influence around the world. It still does. It's everywhere. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you no more. The craftsmen of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you any more. You know what that says? Because God's going to come for his church before this happens. In other words, we're going to be gone. We are what? The bridegroom, right? We're the bride. The bridegroom's going to come and take us home. Look at the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you no more. In other words, this nation is not going to have believers there no more. The Holy Spirit is going to be removed. This revelation didn't hit me until we've been looking at the rapture of the church. I was going, man, Lord, give me more clarity on this. Because for your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. Sorcery. You can't even watch the Disney Channel no more. It's all sorcery. It's all magic and wickedness. Teaching your kids to be a witch. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. Look at this. My question is this, saints of God. Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to meet the King? Let me just say this. God wants to do something mighty. Mighty in your lives. God is reminding us how good He is to us. He's blessed your family. He's blessed your income. Some of you have wonderful homes to go to.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
You know how many people that don't have a home to go to? They got a tent. And some of you graciously once or twice a week go feed them. Gives them a bath. Bring them food. And yet we're going to go home. You guys are going to go home, and whether it's a restaurant or a nice spread at home in the comforts of your home, which God has given you.
Hot shower.
How many of you are thankful for that?
Amen.
Come on. Come on. If you're thankful, give God a shout of praise. God, give me a prophetic unction right now. Sing for the Lord, young man. It's time. Sing for the Lord now. It's time. He's calling you to that place. He's calling you to go deep with Him now. The Word of God has been sown in your heart. Now let Him bring it into fruition. And God's going to do something mighty. Mighty. He's going to give you a hope that you've never seen. He's going to give you a life that you couldn't even expect of. Because He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a wonderful God. He's a loving God. And He has kept you. Every one of us that's in this place, He has kept us. Just look at the sphere of your influence. People that you know in your life. Friends, family members. Some of them have already gone on. You've been to their celebration of life services already. But God has kept us. For reason, for purpose. I'm believing God for you, my brother. That He loves you with an everlasting love. Hold on to it. You got a family that loves you. You got a church family that loves you. And we want to see you grow. I know this is from the Lord, because I normally don't step out of sometimes boundaries that God confines me to, but I just feel that unction to give you a word of hope that He wants to do a mighty, 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 mighty work in you. The gifts that you already have, hallelujah, He's going to turn it for His glory. Hallelujah. And the voice that He has given you is going to glorify Him now and magnify Him. Hallelujah. Tonight at 8 o'clock, look for that brother and say, if he could do that, I could do that. Sing. They had a gospel evening. What was it on Easter Sunday? And all of them sang worship songs. And this brother, look for him tonight, 8 o'clock. His name is Jamal. He looks like your son back here. His name is Jamal. And the guy has a voice like butter. Butter. It's pleasant. Everyone loves this guy. But I believe that the people of God is going to love you, brother. Step out in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hey, Sharaboko Taraba. God wants to do something mighty in the midst of us. Hallelujah. He's not done with us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God's not done with us. And I hope that you guys will have a wonderful day with your mothers, your grandmothers, if they're still with us. And just know that God has tremendously blessed your family. He has blessed us. And so I'm going to give us our benediction before, but you may be watching on Facebook and YouTube right now. And we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day there as well. But if you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can give your heart to God. You guys must be going, why does he look up there? That's where the camera is. And so I'm speaking to you that are watching right now. Pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous. Miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, he's worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.